Would you turn back to Galatians chapter 3? Let's read this 7th verse again. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now I've entitled this message, They Which Are of Faith. Question. What in the world does that mean? To be of faith. I can grasp they which have faith are the children of Abraham, or they which possess faith are the children of Abraham, but what does this mean to be of faith? Now, the preposition of, in the original, it's ek, E-K, epsilon, I can't remember the names of them, but ek. It always has to do with origin, where you're from. It means from or of. Listen to this. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. The Lord said concerning his people, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I want you to think of the import of that statement. He says regarding every believer, they are not of the world. They're just not from here. They're not from here. Even as I am not from here, I am not of this world. He said to one group of people, you are of your father the devil. That's where you're from. And the lusts of your father you'll do. He was the murderer from the beginning and didn't abide in the truth. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Look in verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, right now, we have as our origin the place where we're from. Our hometown, as it were, is either works or faith. Where are you from? Where are you from? You from works or are you from faith? Now, faith, we are relying on something that's already done. Works, we're looking upon something we have done that we're relying on. Now, works and faith are opposed to one another. They are incongruent. They cannot dwell together. They cannot be peaceable with each other. They're not in agreement. They're discordant. They're incompatible. They're unmixable. They're uncongenial. They don't like each other. You understand that? Works and grace cannot dwell together. You're either from one or you're from the other. He says, know this, only they which are of faith are children of Abraham. You're not a child of Abraham by having his genes, but by having his faith. They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now, if I am of faith, Paul says, they which are of faith. I want to be one of these people, don't you? Now, if I am of faith, I am completely relying on who Christ is and what he has done as all that God requires of me to enter glory. Are you of faith? I am completely relying on someone who has already done something and there's nothing for me to do. That's what it means to be of faith. There was a man by the name of Charlie Payne in the church I grew up at 13th Street, and he was dying, and he was getting ready to go into a surgery that it was not very likely that he'd make it through it, and Henry Mahan asked him this question. He said, "Well, are you ready to die?" And he, in fact, did die after this surgery. He didn't make it through it. He had severe heart problems, and Henry said, "Are you ready to die?" And he said, "If what you told me is so, I am." If I am of works, that means I believe there's something that I must do that's dependent upon me before I can enter into glory. I will be in heaven because I fill in the blank, whatever it is. I will be in heaven because I, and that is salvation by works. And if you believe that, you are of the works of the law. Look in verse 10 of Galatians chapter 3. "For as many as are of the works of the law," that's where they're from. That's their hometown. That's where they trace their origin. Works. That's how I'm saved. It has something to do with something that I've done. "As many as are of the works of the law are" what? "Under the curse." That's a sobering statement, isn't it? They're under the curse. Faith, being of faith, is completely relying on that one who justifies the ungodly. Turn back to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Paul's saying pretty much the same thing in Romans 4 that he says in Galatians 3. And he's speaking of Abraham, and he says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory." He could say, "Well, I'm saved because I did this," but not before God. You know, somebody says, "Well, I'm saved because at least I received Christ. Somebody else didn't receive him, so at least I made a difference in making, I received him." People even make the reception of Christ a work. It takes grace to receive Christ. Don't you know that? You can't even receive him without his grace. And every believer knows that. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Verse 3, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now, "to him that worketh is the reward, heavenly glory, not reckoned of grace." It's not the gift of grace, but it's a debt that God owes you. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, would that describe you? And here's somebody that's of faith. They work not. They know there is no way they can do anything to achieve God's favor. They work not. Oh, they want to walk with him. This doesn't mean they're indifferent or uncaring about walking with Christ. They want to walk with the living Christ. They want to honor him. But you know what manifests this? They work not. They work not. They work not, but they believe on him who justifies the ungodly. Now that's what it is to be of faith. You believe on him that justifies the ungodly. I love the way the gospel is called in Galatians 3, the hearing of faith. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, this thing of being of faith, I want to look at some places in the Scripture where that phrase is mentioned, because it has to do with origins. And I want to see if that's my hometown. I want to see if I can trace my origin to faith. I want to see if I'm somebody who's of God. I think that passage of Scripture is so powerful. "He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God." Am I somebody of God that's of God? Is he my origin? Do I trace my roots to him? Or is it works? Now look in Romans chapter 10. verse 6. But now, the righteousness which is of faith. There's that phrase, of faith. The preposition, its origin is faith. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. It's got something to say. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, bring Christ down from above. Don't say in your heart. Tells you first what not to say. Don't even think, what can I do to get Christ to come down and do something for me? That is works. Or, who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. Don't say, what can I do to get his death to work for me? Don't say that. Strike that from your thinking. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you really believe he's the Lord. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord? And I don't mean some empty title. I mean he's the Lord. That means he controls everything and everybody, every event, every demon, every angel, every grain of dust. He controls salvation. He controls damnation. He's in control of everything. He's the Lord. I love him being Lord, don't you? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Do you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? That he actually died on Calvary's tree and God raised him from the dead? You know why he died. He died because the sins of God's elect became his sins. He became guilty. He was raised because he did complete satisfaction. He justified everybody he died for. And you believe God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Don't you love the simplicity of that? Don't talk about what you need to do. I need to do this to get Christ to do something for me. No, you don't. The word's nigh thee. It's in your heart right now. The word of faith which we preach. Look back to Romans chapter 3, verse 27. This could be called the conclusion of faith. Faith's got a conclusion. Paul says in verse 27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. It's cut out. You can't boast in anything. You can't say, well, I'm saved because I fill in the blank. You can't do that. You can't boast in one single thing. Nor do you want to. You don't want to. Where is boasting then? It's excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Faith is a law. It's a principle in the nature of the believer. It's the very nature of the believer to rely only on Christ, and their soul recoils at the thought of giving the flesh any of the credit. They find that offensive. That's the law of faith. You know, the laws of nature, a believer has a law of faith. When you believe God, you're obeying your new nature. Did you know that? That's your new nature doing that. It's a law. It's a principle within you. You must look to Christ only, and you can't find any rest or comfort or joy anywhere else. It's called the law of faith. Verse 28, therefore we conclude. Here's faith's conclusion. We conclude that a man is justified by faith. And that word by is actually the same preposition, ek or of. A man is justified of faith without the deeds of the law. Without the deeds of the law. Romans 1:17. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. I love that. You know, all you got to do is preach the gospel and just let it loose. Wait and see what he does with it. Nothing we can do with it, but buddy, he certainly works with it. It's the power of God unto salvation. I remember Joe Terrell was once commenting on this. He says, what do you do with the tiger? If you want it to do its work, just let it out and see what happens. Just let it out. Nothing you need to do. You don't need, doesn't need your help. Just let it out and let it perform its work. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's a glorious thing to me to think about, that the Lord is working. His gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 17, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. And that word by, once again, is of. It's the Greek preposition ek. It's the just shall live of faith. Now, you know what that tells me? I can't live off my works. If that's what I got to do, I'll die. I cannot live off my works. I can only live by looking to Christ alone. Isaiah 45:22, God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And if you put anything between looking and being saved, I will die. I can't live off anything but Christ only. I can't live off Christ and my works. Can't do it. You give me something to do that I need to do to make myself better or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. I'll die. I can't handle that. All I can live off is faith in Christ only. Looking to Him only. And you know what? I never get tired of this. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get boring. It doesn't get stale. Oh, I love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I look to Him only. Right now, He only is my salvation. He only. I can't live off anything else. Now, this statement is found in the Bible four times. The just shall live by faith. The justified. Those who are just before God. Those who are righteous before God because God has declared them to be just. They live. They have spiritual life. Paul said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The just can only live by faith. They can't live off their works. What if you were called upon to live off how much progress you were making in holiness and righteousness and goodness and those things? Why, you'd be so discouraged. You know, I was listening to a guy preach this week. It freaked me out. He was preaching on the fine linen, clean white. The righteousness which is of the saints. And he said regarding this fine linen, he said, everybody's going to have a different robe because that robe is made up of the works of your personal obedience here on earth. It's the righteousness of the saints. It's their works. And everyone will have a different robe. And this guy was a, quote, Calvinist too. And he said, but you know, you're going to like this because all these good things that you've done that nobody knows about now, they'll find out then. I thought, man, I mean, That's pretty obvious, isn't it? No, the just can't live off some kind of robe that he spins here on earth that's going to give him some kind of higher reward in heaven. No, he lives only by faith in the Son of God. I've already read in Romans 10:6 of the righteousness of faith. Now, that doesn't mean faith is my righteousness before God. You know that. Faith is not a substitute for righteousness. There is only one righteousness. Amen? The righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Lord. His righteousness is the only righteousness there is. Do you believe that? In Psalm 71, verse 16, David said, I've made mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. The Lord said in Psalm 40, these are the direct words of the Lord. He said, I preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest, I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. You see, the only righteousness there is the perfect obedience, the law-keeping of the Lord Jesus Christ. And His righteousness is the righteousness that's imputed to the believer. And it becomes mine. Just as my sin became His sin, His righteousness becomes my very righteousness. Now, that's the fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness which is of the saints. That's the righteousness and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wedding garment. My fine covering. Now, this is the righteousness given in regeneration. You're given a new nature. His nature. partakers of the divine nature. Whatever you're talking about, it is his righteousness. This is the righteousness that Noah was a preacher of. You know, the scripture calls him Noah, a preacher of righteousness. Now, he wasn't saying, man, you guys need to live right or you're going to get flooded and drowned. No, he preached the righteousness of Christ as the only righteousness that God would accept. The righteousness is found in the ark in Christ. Lot, that man Lot, brother Lot, he's called that righteous man with a righteous soul. Now, if we looked at the Old Testament account, we wouldn't have made that confession concerning him. We wouldn't have said that about him. But that's what God says, because of the very righteousness of faith. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Therefore it, the inheritance, eternal glory, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace. It's of faith that it might be by grace. Now, the only way salvation can be all of grace is if it's all of faith. It's that simple. The only way it can be all of grace is if it is all of faith. The law, Paul tells us, is not of faith. Now, somebody might think, what do you mean by grace? Or what does the Bible mean by grace? It's a beautiful word. I love the word grace. I like what it sounds, don't you? Grace. It is a charming sound. Melodious to the ear. And it is, in fact, a beautiful word in the Bible. The grace of God. Now, what does the Bible mean by grace? Well, it means saving grace. By grace, you are saved. Not by grace, salvation is offered to you. Not by grace, here's a potential salvation. By grace, you are saved. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God saved Noah. He put him in the ark, and he saved him. Now, that's what the Bible means by grace. It's saving grace. If it doesn't save, it's not the grace of God. It's a faith. Salvation is not by works, it's by faith. It's by complete reliance upon Christ as everything in salvation. It's burning your bridges. It's not having a plan B. This is it. If salvation's not utterly all of Christ, then I won't be saved. That's what faith is. It's a complete reliance on Him. I'm relying on who He is and what He did in every respect. I'm looking to God to look to Him for everything I need. Now, that is of faith, that it might be by grace, by saving grace. But God, here's saving grace, but God. You were dead in sins, all the things He says, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. It's a faith that it might be by grace. Look in Romans chapter 5. First, let's look at verse 25. You know, the book of Galatians is nothing but the recapitulation. Is that the way you say the word of the book of Romans? They'd left the gospel in Galatia. They'd left the teaching of Romans, and he's going back over it again with them. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you to the grace of Christ to another gospel. And so he goes over everything he said in Romans, only stronger. But look here in verse 25 of chapter 4. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for or because of our justification. Now, think about that. He was delivered for our offenses. The reason He died is because of our offenses. And He was raised again because of our justification. Now, do you hear that? Justification has nothing to do with your faith. This justification was accomplished before you were even born. You had nothing. You didn't have any works, good or bad. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. When He was raised from the dead, every believer was justified. Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified. And that word is in the passive tense. That's very important. It's passive. You didn't have anything to do with this. This is not something you received or accepted. It's something God caused you to be. It's God that justifies. That's the work of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, of faith, it's the word again, where it says by, it's of, it's the Greek preposition ek, of faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that comes from faith. The peace of justification. What peace there is in knowing that I'm justified, that I'm not guilty, that I don't have any sin, that when God sees me, He doesn't have any reason to be mad at me. He's pleased with me. He's at peace with me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what peace I derive from that. Now, if you take any of that away, my peace is gone. But if He really is my justification before God, Ephesians 2:14 says He is our peace. And you know, with knowing that all God requires of me, He looks to His Son, Jesus Christ, for, I have peace. I'm not... Bold shall I stand in that great day. For who ought to my charge shall lay, fully absolved from these I am, from sin's tremendous curse and shame. Have peace with God's providence. It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. I might not understand it. I might not enjoy it. I might not find it pleasant. I don't enjoy being, but I do rest in this. It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I have peace with the world. And what do I mean by that, peace with the world? Here's exactly what I mean. Why is there fighting and wars and conflict in the world? Because somebody wants something that somebody else has. That's a pretty accurate summary, isn't it? Somebody wants what somebody else has. Listen, I have all. And I don't need anything this world has. I'm just passing through. I'm passing through as a stranger and a pilgrim. And I'm at peace with this world in that sense. You can have it. You can have it. I'm fine without it. Because in Christ, I have all. I don't even have anything to covet because I got everything. In Christ. I'm at peace. And you know, I'm at peace with you. I'm at peace with you. We're not competing. I'm already in last place, and you are too. We're not competing. And what else is true is I'm in first place, and you are too. I'm complete in Christ. I can't get any better. You can't get any better. We're not competing, are we? We're brethren, one in Christ Jesus. And we're at peace. Does that mean we feel peace all the time? Well, you know better than that. But we have peace all the time, don't we? Oh, the peace that's in Christ Jesus. The Lord said in John chapter 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. The Lord said that. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, we read of the obedience of faith. the obedience of faith. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, when he was offering the sacrifice of Christ through that lamb, he was doing that in obedience to God's command. There's only one sacrifice to bring, and that's the sacrifice he brought. That's the obedience of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his household. He moved with fear. You know, I am afraid to look anywhere but Christ. Aren't you? I'm afraid to. And I move with fear to get in the ark. The only place I want to be found is in the ark, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the obedience of faith. By faith, Abraham went out to a place he would afterwards receive for an inheritance, not knowing where he went. He went out. That's the obedience of faith. Now, understand this. If I have a faith that doesn't cause me to obey God, to obey the gospel, it's not the faith of God's elect. It's just some kind of mental assent to some facts that I don't really have any understanding of anyway. No, faith will cause you to run to Christ. Faith will cause you to look to Christ. Faith will cause you to look nowhere else. James chapter 2, would you turn there? Just got a couple more. Where's your hometown? Faith or works? I know where I want to be from. I want to be from faith. I don't want to be from works. I don't have anything to do with that. I want to be from faith. Remember, beloved, faith and works are enemies. They're opposed to one another. They don't dwell together. Well, why? How can you say that and read this scripture? Verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there's one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now where does that fit in with everything you've been saying? Well, Abraham was given a promise. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 3, the gospel is stated as, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Talking about the seed of Christ, the seed of woman that would come through Abraham, that would come through David, the son of David, that seed. He said, and the scripture preached the gospel to Abraham, simply saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham knew he was going to have a child. God promised him that. And the Messiah would come through that seed. Well, the time comes when God says, you take now your son, your only son whom you love, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me. What if Abraham would have said, if I do that, then what God said will not come to pass? I can't do that because then God's promise wouldn't come to pass. You know what he would approve by that? He would approve that he thought it would be possible for what God said to not come to pass. That's all he would prove by that. But we know from the account in Hebrews 11 that he believed that even after he killed him, God would raise him from the dead. He knew the seed would come through Isaac. And he said, so, well, all right, I'll kill him. I don't understand the point in doing it. He raised his hand up to kill him, but he knew this. God would raise him from the dead because God can't go back on his word. Now, that's what it is to believe God. You believe God. Abraham believed God. He proved he believed God by his works, didn't he? If he would have said, "Now I can't slay my son," what would he have proved by that? "I don't believe God." But his works demonstrated his faith in God. Somebody says, "I don't think I could do that." Yeah, you could. If God told you to, you could do it. He'd give you the grace to do it. You see, whatever God commands you to do, he'll give you the grace to do it. And you could do it just like Abraham did. You sure can. One last scripture. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. I love this verse of scripture. Now, I'm going to call this one the exclusivity of faith. I think that's a word. The exclusivity of faith. Now, where do I come up with a word like that? Well, read this verse of scripture with me. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith." Now look at this next statement. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now do you hear that? Do I hear it? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not generated from faith, simple faith in Christ, looking to him only as everything in salvation. Whatever is not generated from that is sin. I don't care what it is. I don't care how good it may seem. If it's not generated from simple faith in Christ, reliance on Christ as everything, all it is sin. No matter how good it may appear. That's the exclusivity of faith. It excludes everything else. Whatsoever is not of faith, generated from faith. You can write this down. I don't care what it is. I don't care how religious it may seem. I don't care how good it may seem. All it is sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, it's only they which are of faith that are the true children of Abraham. Faith's their hometown. That's where they're from. That's their roots. That's their origin. They got a law in them that won't let them look anywhere but Christ only. Now, if you're of faith, you've heard the message of the hearing of faith. You've heard the speaking of faith. You have the conclusion of faith. You can only live off faith, not works. You have the righteousness of faith. You have the grace of faith. You have the peace of faith. You have the obedience of faith. You have the works of faith. And you have the exclusivity of faith. And only the Lord can make us to be of faith. I think of that scripture, "Of him are you in Christ Jesus." Of him. And only of him can you and I be of faith. Lord, make this my hometown. Make this my origin. Make it to where I, by your grace, refuse to look anywhere else. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the gospel. And Lord, faith is beyond our reach unless you give it to us. And Lord, we ask for the gift of faith. And Lord, we ask that you would increase our faith. Lord, enable us to see that thy blessed Son is the object of faith, the subject of faith, the foundation of faith. And teach us what it really means to glory in his cross. And bless this message for the Lord's sake. In his name we pray. Amen.